And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, General Manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network, South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program, as you know, every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. You can also join us on our Facebook page at GRN South and Central TX. Join our Facebook group to follow us and see what we are doing each and every weekend. Want to thank everyone tuning in from Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and of course right here in San Antonio. We're grateful that you have decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on, of course, all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. Now on this program, as you know, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, this is going to be a special, special hour because we are going to be speaking with our keynote speaker for our 19th annual 2026 Fishers of Men Dinner, Matthew Leonard. And for those of you who know Matthew Leonard, and which I know there's quite a few of you who do know who Matthew Leonard is, he's quite the individual, and I'll tell you what, he's the founder of Science of Sainthood. He's an international speaker, author, podcaster, and you're going to get a chance to learn a little bit more about Matthew Leonard here in this hour, and joining me live in studio is, of course, my co-worker and good friend, Dr. Ray Lopez. Dr. Ray Lopez, how are you doing today?
Gordy, I'm doing great. It's great to be here with you as always here, and I'm looking forward to our interview with our Fishers of Men keynote speaker, Dr. Matthew Leonard.
He is going to be on, and we're going to bring him on, but as you know, here at the GRN, we always start in prayer, and we want to do just that. So before we begin our conversation, let's get today's program the way we should do all things, and that's in prayer. And remember, as we pray, ask for the Lord to make his will known to you and for the grace to accomplish his will in loving obedience. We want to pray for Archbishop Gustavo, our Archdiocese of San Antonio, Bishop Gary Onick, Bishop Arturo Cepeda, and retiring Bishop Michael Boulet. Of course, pray for our priests, deacons, seminarians, nuns, religious, and of course, our country and our world. Amen. And everything that's going on. Amen. In our country. Amen. And in our world. So lots of prayers needed. So let's begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Excellent.
And just like that, Dr. Ray, we are up and running. And Matthew Leonard, are you with us on the air? I mentioned that our 19th annual Fishers of Men Dinner is coming up. And, you know, we're in March now. It's going to be April the 9th. That's a Thursday, okay? Yep. And that's going to be right after Easter. Easter Sunday is that
Sunday.
It's
coming up pretty quick.
That's right. And then Thursday, April 9th is when our banquet dinner, our 19th annual Fishers of Men dinner is going to occur. Doors are going to be open at 6:30. You want to make sure that you get your tickets, and it's real easy to do that. All you have to do is go into grnonline.com/events. And once you hit that /events, you are going to see, you're going to want to click on South and Central TX. And there you can buy your table. If you want to sponsor a table, I tell you, they start at $1,500. Excuse me. Seats are $150 each. Okay. But if you've got 10 people that you know that would love to go and have a delicious steak dinner. And, you know, with a great keynote speaker, Matthew Leonard. And of course, our honoree is going to be Father Carlos Velasquez.
Oh, yeah.
From your parish, Dr. Ray.
Father Carlos.
Father Carlos is going to be our honoree. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to occur over at, Holy Trinity Banquet Hall. If you've ever been to Holy Trinity, it's a great venue.
It's a beautiful banquet hall. I got to tell you too something, Gordy, that if you're thinking about coming to the Fishers of Men, just do it because you're going to have a great time. It's a beautiful venue. The food is excellent with great wine.
Fantastic.
We're going to have Dr. Matthew Leonard there. We're going to have Father Carlos there. Beautiful tablecloths, beautiful everything. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, great way to spend an evening with your family, with your sweetheart, however you want to do it. It's just Fishers of Men dinners are always absolutely wonderful experiences.
Hey, what? I think we have Matthew Leonard on, don't we?
I'm here, guys.
Hey. Matthew, not Dr. Matthew Leonard, but Matthew Leonard.
No, my apologies.
I mean, I'll take the degree, Dr. Leonard. I haven't done the work.
So let's get this started, Matthew. You know, just thank you so much for, you know, accepting our invitation to be our keynote with our theme being the art of living like a Catholic. And, you know, I know you know exactly what that means, living like a Catholic, but for our listeners out there who may not know who Matthew Leonard is, which I don't think there's many out there, Matthew, but could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, your, you know, conversion, all that good stuff?
Sure. I've been a Catholic now for 28 plus years. And so I'm reaching the halfway point, like where I'm like half my life Catholic and half my life growing up Protestant. I'm a pastor's kid. And so my move into the church, first of all, guys, I never planned on being one of you people ever, right? And I grew up in very Protestant world. I grew up in Chicago for the most part. I didn't even know it was a Catholic city. I had zero idea because my world was so Protestant.
Right.
And it was a good world. I mean, I grew up loving Jesus and learning scripture and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And it was lovely. But there came a point in time when I met one Catholic family who started kind of peppering me with questions that eventually I didn't have the answers for. Mm. And the big domino for me, because people ask, like, I was a hardcore Protestant, you know, and I'm this pastor's kid. What was the original kind of impetus? And it was really the question of authority. I've been a part of so many different denominations growing up. My dad was a Methodist pastor, then Pentecostal pastor, and then we went to a charismatic church and an open Bible church and a Calvinist high school, and Oral Roberts University, mm-hmm. and the Swedish Covenant University. I graduated from him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, you just have to ask, well, geez, if the Bible is our only authority, how come everybody interprets it differently?
Yep.
And that was the big domino for me. And it wasn't an easy process. It didn't just happen like overnight, like Paul on his horse or something like that, if he even had a horse. But it was a process of God's grace and mercy where through that and that alone, I came to fully accept the Catholic faith as the one true faith. And I'm happier today and more excited to be Catholic today, even than the night that I was received into the church 28 years ago.
And this happened in high school, right? Where you met an Irish Catholic family. And, you know, I read all about that. And, you know, it did change your mindset about Catholicism. But before that, did you have any anti-Catholic biases at all?
Oh, 100%, Gordy.
I figured that.
I was convinced all y'all were going to go to hell.
Oh, yeah.
I really was. It really wasn't my parents who instilled that in me, but in particular, the Calvinist high school that I went to was very fundamental Calvinist and very opposed to Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And when I go back and kind of look at the old notebooks I had in high school, I'm horrified at some of the things that I wrote down, like what I was being taught, because it's just so blatantly false, and they just didn't really understand the Catholic Church. But it was meeting that family, and this is such a huge point. It's through relationship that people become Catholic.
Yep.
You know, it's really about love. No one really becomes Catholic because they get beat over the head in an apologetic argument. We have to know our faith. That's one of the reasons why you know, Catholic radio is so important. We need to know our faith. But anything that we communicate the faith has to be done in love.
That's right. I think that's one of the reasons that the, you know, the biggest religious group in the United States right now is ex-Catholics, right? And I, unfortunately, the reason for that is because they don't, you know, they don't know their faith. They don't know what they're giving up. They don't know what the truth and love that's present in our faith.
So yeah, Matthew, you know, going from Protestant to Catholic, right? I mean, I've heard you describe it as it was like finding a treasure chest of gold coins.
Yeah. There's so much in this faith. I mean, it's crazy how much we have as Catholics, and it is just like that. And so when you discover the church fathers, which were huge in my conversion, and you realize these guys were Catholic, no, there wasn't even anything called a Protestant until, you know, 1500 years past the time of Christ. And you discover these guys are so Catholic, and their teaching is so rich, and just the sacraments. And best of all for me these days anyway, I mean, obviously the sacraments are foundational, but I just love the spiritual patrimony that we have through huge saints like John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila and Francis de Sales and others. The spiritual teaching of the church is so rich, and you start to dig into it, your life will never be the same.
Matthew, I'm wondering, was there like a particular like conversation or book or article that was the tipping point? I know that this was a slow process, right? But was there like a particular moment or thing you read or conversation you had that like where you just said, boom, okay, I'm in? Or was it just more of a gradual process?
It was a gradual process, but I think a pivotal moment, Dr. Ray, was when I had been starting to lose arguments to this Catholic family. And so I was asking questions, and they gave me a book. They gave me a book on baptism, and I was out with some friends of mine at a coffee shop. And normally we talked about sports and girls, but this night we were talking about baptism. And I said, guys, do you think that baptism is necessary for salvation? Because I'm reading this book, and this is what the Catholic Church says. And, you know, we argued about this. Like, is it infant, adult? Is it sprinkling? Is it immersion? Is it necessary for salvation? And none of us agreed.
Yep.
And I was just like, well, how in the world are we supposed to know who's right?
Yep.
Because God is who he is. It doesn't matter what we believe about him. And I mean, later I would learn, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas says truth is conforming one's mind to reality.
Exactly.
But at the time I was like, there have to be some answers. We're talking about salvation here, right?
Yep. Yep.
So after that conversation with my friends, I went home and had a conversation with my dad, who has a PhD in a canon of sacred scripture. He really is Dr. Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just started posing questions about the deuterocanonical books and why are Catholic Bibles bigger, you know, than ours. And I just couldn't get straight answers. And that's what really kind of pushed me to continue on. That was really kind of a very pivotal moment. I didn't decide I was going to become Catholic. It was such a wrestling match between me and God. I didn't decide until the rite of sending in the RCIA process. And that's when the grace of God just hit me and I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, Matthew, tell us a little about now. This happened in high school when you met that Irish Catholic family. Obviously, you moved on. You got married. Tell us a little bit about your home life, your marriage life, or, you know, what do you do on a day to day?
Well, I am married to the most wonderful woman in the world. I married way up, guys, like most of us do.
And same here.
Yep.
I met my wife a year after I became Catholic, and I knew the second day after I met her, I'm like, this is the girl I'm going to marry. It took me a little while to convince her, but I knew right then. And so I ended up going through RCIA at Franciscan University, and a couple of weeks into the semester, the school miraculously, without any transcripts or anything, gave me a full scholarship to study theology. I wasn't Catholic yet in the master's program. And that was just really it was a miracle. And so I said, okay, Lord, this is what you want. And I ended up getting my degree. And then I spent a couple of years at Ave Maria College working in the administration there, and then came back to Steubenville to take over the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, and did that for a little more than a decade. But what happened was I fell so in love with the spiritual teachings of the church. I just couldn't shut up about it. And I was traveling and speaking and and things like, and I always came back to this stuff, prayer and the interior life and the stages of the spiritual life and all this stuff. And so finally, I launched something called The Science of Sainthood, which is an online program that basically is step-by-step spiritual formation that guides people in the interior life. And that's what I do now, travel and speak at great events like yours and teach people the interior life through The Science of Sainthood.
Yeah, now, you know, I want our listeners to go in and learn all about The Science of Sainthood before they go to the Fishers of Men dinner. They can go into scienceofsainthood.com.
All together, one word, and, scienceofsainthood.com.
Yeah, yeah. scienceofsainthood.com. But, you know, what I wanted to talk about there is, you know, you give three stages or three waves, right? And one is purgative, second is illuminative, and the third is unitive. And I, you know, without getting so complex and deep into the woods, can we, you know, how do we become holy? It starts with that purgative, right? That purging.
Yeah, that's right. The three stages, most people are unaware and they have never been exposed to the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways. And basically, these are just the three stages that every one of us goes through as we're making our way toward God. So just like you go from spiritual, well, you go from infancy into adolescence and adulthood in the natural life, we follow the exact same pattern in the spiritual life. And so the purgative way is where we're basically being purged of all of our major sins. Like you're getting rid of the big boys and you start working on venial sins too, but you're really trying to clean house. And then you eventually, you're purged to the point where God then draws you into the second stage, which is the illuminative way. And this is where you start to focus on growing in virtue, and the Lord is kind of uprooting deeper weeds of sin. And they call it the illuminative way because you're being illuminated by the light and love of Jesus Christ, who says, I am the light of the world. So that's like spiritual puberty almost. Spiritual adulthood is the unitive way, and that's the closest we can get to God on this side of heaven. And this is where you really, I mean, you are in union with God and being, you know, we're always being divinized and made, you know, being reformed in his likeness. But this is as close as you can get. And it's kind of the highest level of the interior life, which is what all of us should be striving for. Because you know what? At the end of the day, all we're talking about is the process of becoming saints. And the only people in heaven are saints.
And, you know, on that, I wanted to bring this up, this kind of timeline, this personal timeline of mine where it started with, I'm going to an axe retreat. Wow, I'm on fire. I'm at the top of the mountain. I got to come down. And when I did, I started my adoration and prayer. And you mentioned in the contemplative wave that God starts dulling your senses. And when you said this, wow, it just alarms went off because there are times where I was in adoration and I got to a point where I was just sitting in silence. And you explained it very well to where today, as of today, this date, I understand why that was because so many of my co-Catholics and, you know, adorers, they say, is it okay to sit in silence? I feel so like guilty.
Yeah.
But I want to come back and talk about that, Matthew, and we're going to hold on to this break, but I really want to have some dialogue on that. So listeners, sit tight. Hope you love what you're listening to, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Do you know that there are 1.8 million Catholic U.S. military service members and 330,000 are deployed? They need priests to father them wherever they're stationed worldwide, yet there are only a few hundred Catholic chaplains. Can you say a Hail Mary for military chaplaincy vocations? Visit milarch.org to learn about ministry to U.S. service members, veterans, their families, and to this nation. God bless you and may God bless America.
The month of March is dedicated to Saint Joseph. O Saint Joseph, whose protection is so great, so prompt, so strong before the throne of God, I place in you all my interest and desires. O Saint Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession and obtain for me from your divine Son all spiritual blessings. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. so that having engaged here below your heavenly power, I may offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. O Saint Joseph, I never weary contemplating you and Jesus asleep in your arms. I dare not approach while he reposes near your heart. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me, and ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. Saint Joseph, patron of departing souls, pray for me. Amen.
Hi, Julie Carrick here, host of We Sing Our Faith, sharing the music and ministry of many of today's Catholic recording artists. I am delighted to be the host of this weekly program on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time. Julie Carrick with We Sing Our Faith, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central, here on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Arm yourself for the daily spiritual battle. Visit St. Michael's Armory for beautiful sacramentals, recast antique medals and religious jewelry, and our exclusive sterling silver and wool round scapulars. Take up these means to strengthen your soul and arm yourself well for the battle of life. StMichaelsArmory.com. That's StMichaelsArmory.com. Spiritual armor for the battle of life.
Gordy Zambrano here, inviting all men and women to our 2026 Fishers of Men Dinner to be held on Thursday, April 9th at Holy Trinity Catholic Church Banquet Hall. Come enjoy a delicious steak dinner and an incredible talk by Matthew Leonard. Our honoree is Father Carlos Velasquez from San Fernando Cathedral. To purchase your tickets or sponsor a table, go to grnonline.com, click on the events tab, and go to 2025 South and Central Fishers of Men. See you there. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, General Manager for South and Central Texas here at the Guadalupe Radio Network. If you just tuned in and just turned your dial onto your favorite GRN radio station, or you're listening on grnonline.com, I'm speaking with Matthew Leonard. He is our keynote speaker for our upcoming Fishers of Men dinner. It is going to be our 19th annual. It's our 2026 Fishers of Men benefit dinner. And our theme is the art of living as a Catholic. It's going to be Thursday, April 9th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Doors open at 6:30, and it'll be over at Holy Trinity Banquet Hall. Our honoree is Father Carlos Velasquez from San Fernando Cathedral. So if you know Father Carlos, definitely buy your ticket. You can buy your tickets at grnonline.com/events, and then look for South and Central TX Fishers of Men Dinner, and there you could buy your individual seat ticket for $150, or you can sponsor a table starting at $1,500, table seat 10. So if you've got a lot of friends you want to bring, that is perfectly fine with us. But as I mentioned, we've got Matthew Leonard, our keynote speaker, here on In His Vineyard, getting to know him better. And before the break, Matthew, we were talking about adoration, sitting in silence, and, you know, kind of the Lord dulling our senses, right?
Yeah. And so what happens is, and what you're talking about, Gordy, is that after you've been practicing meditative prayer for a while, so there are three major modes of prayer. There's vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer. And all of us should be practicing vocal and meditative prayer. Contemplation is something God does to us. But when you're practicing meditative prayer, and essentially at some point in time, and it's totally up to God, right? So don't compare yourself to other people. He knows you better than you know yourself.
Right.
So when he decides you're ready, he begins, and the Holy Spirit begins to give you little nudges just to put your meditations aside. Lay down your Magnificat, pause your rosary, pause your scripture reading, whatever it is you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you start to get these little nudges and urges to just sit with God and just to be still with him. And this is a sign that you are moving from meditative prayer into contemplative prayer, which is something that God does to you. And what he's going to do is he's going to start to give more of himself to you. And kind of at the same time that that's happening, you can also go through a period of dryness where you're not feeling the presence of God mm-hmm. like you used to. And you used to really experience him. And like you said, you know, you got really excited by your Acts retreat. You're shucking and jiving with Jesus. And mm-hmm. hey, we got a good thing going here. And now I don't feel him anymore like I used to. What's happening? Yeah. This is not a bad thing at all. I mean, assuming you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing, what happens is exactly what you said, Gordy. God is dulling your senses. He hasn't gotten further away. He's actually gotten closer to you. It's just that your spiritual senses haven't been developed yet to understand that he's actually gotten closer to you. So the analogy that the spiritual writers use is that it's like a surgeon who's anesthetizing you and going to work on a deeper level. And eventually, as you persevere, you'll come out of this and you'll have an even deeper relationship with him that isn't based on the kind of feelings you had previously, but a deeper, more unified relationship than ever before.
Wow. So
I got chills on that.
Yeah. Matthew, let me ask you a question. So I've, you know, in my own prayer life, I've never felt like, you know, the presence of God, you know, I've never felt anything. I mean, I'm wondering if, have I not maybe not gone completely through the purgative.
You didn't purge.
I haven't purged yet. Or, I mean, cause I've always wondered, like, you know, what's going on? You know, does God even listen to me? You know, I mean, like, what, you know, I'm just kind of curious what your take on that is for somebody like myself who I'm, you know, praying and, you know, going to mass and availing myself of the sacraments and doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I've never felt anything. I'm wondering if, what's your take on that is?
Well, a couple. I mean, obviously, I don't know you personally, Dr. Ray. Yeah, hopefully, that'll change soon. But a couple of things I would say. First of all, the saints will say that if you're going to prayer regularly and you're making that decision to do so and you're not feeling anything and you're continuing to do it, it's actually more meritorious for you than it is if you actually feel the presence of God, because you're making an actual act of the will and putting yourself in God's presence, and he loves that. So perseverance is the number one trait you need in the life of prayer.
Yeah.
But not everybody experiences, I mean, people's temperaments are different, right?
Yeah.
And we respond to different things, and God's going to give gifts, different gifts to different people that he thinks need them or whatever. It's up to him what it is that we feel or don't feel, or it's up to our temperament, our natural inclinations. So I wouldn't stress about the fact that you don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. And I would just say, fundamentally, and this goes for the people who are listening, like, if you don't have a life of meditative prayer, which is a prerequisite for any of this stuff to happen, mm-hmm. okay, you start with 10 to 15 minutes. And that's all you need to begin with if you've never done it before. If you have more than that already, great, keep going. But 10 to 15 minutes, and all you really need to do is grab your Bible or your Magnificat or whatever and begin to slowly read through a passage. And I mean slowly. And when God strikes you, if something strikes you out of the passage, pause and just let the Lord speak to you. It's all quiet prayer. You're not talking, okay? Your Bible or whatever is the input into this interior conversation with God. And when something jumps out at you, you pause, you talk to the Lord about it. When the moment is over or you're distracted, you go back to your reading. That's essentially what meditative prayer is. And you also have to resolve to do something about it. Like when the Lord shows you something, like maybe he says, hey, listen, you need to forgive such so-and-so. Or maybe you need to work on this vice. Maybe you need to work on that virtue. You have to resolve to actually act on it. Because prayer isn't just conversation.
Yeah.
It's about being changed into the likeness of God. If you're doing that, okay, and the more you do it, the faster the time is going to go, because literally this is what we're made for. We are made to be in this kind of conversation or relationship with God. And if you do that, eventually he's going to continue to work in a very deep way, and you're not going to be like a Philistine your entire life. You're going to sense the presence of God at some point. But remember something, Dr. Ray. Mother Teresa didn't experience the presence of God for 50 years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So this is where the devil can really play games with us in this, because we start to compare ourselves to other people, and it's kind of like Facebook, you know, spirituality.
Yeah.
Like, I went here, I went there, I've got this, I've got that. And we kind of do that in the spiritual life too.
Yeah.
We don't want to fall into that trap. That's the devil's playground.
Yeah, a couple of things. I think God loves us so deeply that he knows us intimately as individuals. And you're right. I think he's going to come at you based on whatever your individual temperament is. And that makes a lot of sense. And now I'm starting to see why you called your sites scienceofsainthood.com and you used the word science. I think I'm starting to see that because I think you've put together an empirically based method for moving forward in your faith.
Yeah, I'm just standing on the shoulders of the giants, right? In fact, I totally stole the title from St. Augustine. I mean, he literally calls it the science of saints. St. Catherine of Siena calls it the holy science of love. Edith Stein, same thing. I mean, there's a process by which we become saints because it's a process of relationship.
You mentioned two of the smartest people I look up to, St. Augustine and St. Edith Stein. I mean, those are two of the smartest people that ever lived, and they're Catholic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you right now. Saints, you know, which saints inspired you, Matthew, as you were going through this process and you're thinking of how am I going to put the science of sainthood out there? Who influenced you the most as you were putting all this together?
Man, that's a great question. I think the saint that I fell in love with the most and who just has become my guy is Saint John of the Cross.
Whoa.
And he's the mystical doctor. Mm-hmm. And I love Teresa of Avila as well, obviously. When Teresa talks, and she writes beautiful stuff, and you'll find courses on St. Teresa of Avila in the science of sainthood. It's incredible. But she's not as systematic as St. John of the Cross is, and he basically just takes a 2x4, he coats it in velvet and cracks you upside the head. And yeah. I so respond to that, and I just think his stuff is, I mean, he's a mystical doctor for a reason. And the more I read of him, the more I fall in love with his teaching because he's drawing me closer to Christ.
Wow.
And one of the misnomers out there is that we can become saints. I mean, I think, you know, when Catholics hear that, you think, I am not worthy. There's no way. I've lived this life of just, you know, doing this, doing that. But we all can become saints. Isn't that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Listen, for people out there who are feeling that way right now, I'm not worthy. You're right. None of us are.
Right.
Not one of us is worthy. That's why Jesus came.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to get over that and you got to throw yourself in the mercy of God. And we are made, we're literally made to be saints. This stuff isn't like the life of prayer we were just talking about, the science of sainthood. I mean, this is for every single person ever made, not just for monks and nuns out in the hinterland. Your job is to get your face on a holy card like that. That's the goal for all of us. And every one of us is made for it. And it's just a lie of the evil one that tells you this is too much for you. No, it's not. It's what you're made for.
Wow. The lie of the evil one. That is so true. That is so true. The demons are out to get us and to keep us from God, to keep us from Jesus. And that's one of the lies they tell you. You're not good enough. You are not good enough to do this. So why bother? That's a really good point. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I hear a lot of that in my own head. You know, it's like, don't bother. It's like, oh.
Now, Matthew, I want to talk about, you're also an author, a podcaster, The Art of Catholic. That's your podcast. But I want to first talk about the books because you've got a book out there called Louder Than Words, The Art of Living as a Catholic. And that's our theme for our Fishers of Men dinner.
That's right. And that book basically kind of does an overview of the whole Catholic life, of all these different important things that we're supposed to do, the life of prayer, what is redemptive suffering, how does silence work in our lives, how do you read sacred scripture? But it takes all of these things and shows how all of them are leading toward and end up in us participating literally in the divine nature of God. And guys, I mean, the offer on the table for all of us as Catholics, we're never going to get a better offer than what God's put in front of us.
Yep.
And so it's worth it. St. Paul says everything else is refuse compared to what it is that God offers us. And that's what, I mean, the art of living as a Catholic is the art of getting the biggest treasure chest you have ever seen in your life.
Right. Exactly. And I gotta point out too that your book, Louder Than Words, I'm looking at a picture of it here, and it's not a big, thick 1,000-page tome. It's a nice, slender volume that has 11 chapters in it that I'm sure, and I haven't read it, but I am going to buy this book, that breaks things down pretty pretty straightforwardly, I would say.
No, look, I've done the grad work and all the rest of that kind of stuff, but this isn't academic pie-in-the-sky stuff. I write for the regular Joe and Judy six-pack sitting in the pew. And pack some humor in there as well to help move things along. But, you know, if we don't understand theology, then it's not going to do us any good.
Right.
The faith needs to be understandable. So, yeah, Dr. Ray, I'm writing for the common man because that's what I am too.
Excellent.
You know, and the other thing, Matthew, is, you know, podcasts are becoming more and more popular, right? And so tell us a little bit about The Art of Catholic. That's your podcast and how people can tune in.
Yeah, sure. It's on YouTube or app, iTunes. I mean, anywhere you can get a podcast. And, it's so funny, Gordy, you asked me that. And I'm actually in kind of a transition. So in the beginning, I would interview anyone and everyone about all kinds of different topics in the faith. And I find myself so drawn. There's so much noise in this world, right? Mm-hmm. And you're right. More and more podcasts. There's more and more TV shows and streaming and this and that and the other.
Yeah.
As Catholics, we really need to become selective as to what it is we kind of put into our minds.
Yep.
And I mean, choose Catholic radio. Choose the things that you know are going to actually move you closer to God, not just information.
Yep.
Right? Because when you stand before God, He's not going to say, well, can you quote John 3:16 to me?
Right.
Tell me the four dogmas. And Mary. That's not what's going to happen. Do I know you? That's what He wants to know.
Yeah.
And so we need to pick and choose this stuff. And so I found myself really beginning to focus more and more on topics that are fundamental to our relationship with God and are going to help people get to heaven. And that's really what The Art of Catholic is becoming more and more focused on.
Excellent. That's a powerful, powerful stuff.
And that's our tagline too here at Guadalupe Radio. We're trying to get souls to heaven.
Exactly. Get to heaven.
Amen.
That's the ticket. That's the ticket. Get to heaven. I think, the Science of Sainthood has like a set of courses as well, that you can sign up for, you can pay for. You got some great deals here. Can you walk us through some of these courses? I mean, the reason I'm asking is because we have our own educational program at GRN. We have the GRN Academy, and we're doing a few courses. We have courses on meeting the Protestant challenge. I teach a course on Aristotle's metaphysics this time around.
Nice.
And I also did a course on Aristotle's ethics. We have Dave Palmer, who's teaching Thomas Aquinas. But I'm wondering, what are some of the courses that you have available on your scienceofsainthood.com site?
Yeah, Science of Sainthood is it's a systematic movement through the spiritual life. So I don't really advertise this, but you know, we were talking earlier about the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways, the three stages. That's the underlying backbone of the Science of Sainthood. And so the courses that are laid out, they're laid out literally in order, and there are 18 courses on it right now. And they kind of go A to Z, step by step, through the interior life, focusing on the topics that and how the saints laid it out. In fact, one of the things that I did, guys, I went into the old priest manuals and just kind of used what priests used to be taught, and I laid my courses out along with that, and I'll tell you what some of those are after the break.
Yeah, Matthew, that music means we've got to take a quick break, a couple of minutes, but we'll be right back. Listeners, hang tight.
I recently stumbled across your radio station on the way to work. I had seen a bumper sticker on somebody's car. I didn't know what it was or what it was about, but I tuned in on my way to work, and I've been listening to you guys ever since. I appreciate you guys, and maybe you can add me to your prayer list as well, just that I continue to develop my path with the Catholic Church.
The Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul. Working in a remote location without easy access to the sacraments and our Catholic Church, particularly if you're in the military, Catholic Radio provides both spiritual and community connection. It allows you to pursue growth in your faith and to understand God's plan for your life. It gives hope to seekers and Catholics wherever you are. This is retired Vice Admiral Steve Stanley. I encourage you to listen to Guadalupe Radio Network. Visit grnonline.com to learn more. Connect today.
Each new year, I make a list, excited by fresh beginnings, yet fearful I won't follow through. Some goals roll over year after year until I realize maybe my plans aren't God's plans. Doubt creeps in, but that's when I envision Christ walking with me. Before writing your goals, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide your intentions. Writing goals is just the start. You then strategize, visualize, and speak life into them. I tape my goals on my office wall and read them out loud every day. Research shows that vocal repetition helps the brain retain and categorize information, so I repeat them until I believe them. Make your goals part of your everyday rhythm. Use the Think It and Ink It approach. Write them down, read them often, and let them shape your mindset. Communicate your goals with Christ. Include your life, career, and faith. So let's be goal-oriented, not just for achievement, but for alignment with God's plans. This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
You've heard it said, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. So instead of letting your unused vehicle sit idle one more day, why not donate it to the Guadalupe Radio Network? Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click on Donate Now. That's 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now. Later model cars or trucks are greatly appreciated. Seize the day by calling 1-866-2277.
Hi friends, I'm Matthew Leonard, author, speaker, and founder of The Science of Sainthood. I'm excited to join you as your keynote speaker for GRN's 19th annual Fishers of Men Benefit Dinner on Thursday, April 9th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Holy Trinity Banquet Hall. I look forward to our time together as we celebrate Catholic radio on GRN in the South and Central Texas listening area. To learn more and to register, visit grnonline.com/FOM. I'll see you soon.
And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to In His Vineyard. What an hour today has been so far. We're not completed yet. We got Matthew Leonard, who you just heard from, doing our PSA for our public service announcement for our upcoming 2026 Fishers of Men Benefit Dinner. Our theme is the art of living as a Catholic, just like the title of Matthew Leonard's book, Louder Than Words. And, you know, we're going to continue our conversation. If you're just tuning in, we got Matthew Leonard on here. We're learning all about Matthew and his conversion and the reason for, you know, him founding the Science of Sainthood. And, you know, it's been a great interview so far, Matthew Leonard, and I'm so glad you joined us. And I want to pick up where you were, where we left off before the break.
Yeah, sure. So we were talking about, I got asked, what are the courses that are in the Science of Sainthood and how they get put together? And, you know, when I first designed this, I focused on the mystical life and tried to reduce some of the misnomers that people have, like, oh, that's not for me. Yes, it is. It's what you're made for. So Catholic Mysticism, The Beautiful Life of Grace used to be the first course. And then I realized something. You know what? If you're not praying, none of the rest of this stuff matters. And so I built a course called Introduction to Real Prayer to be the foundational course of everything. And as I'm thinking about it, guys, if any of your listeners want to get a taste of it, they can check it out for free for a couple of weeks just by texting the word pray to the number 66866. If they do that, pray to 66866, you can get 2 weeks for free and just check that course out. Make it a little preview of when I come down to Texas to be with you guys. But I have a course on Our Lady. Yeah, and you jump in there and, well, guys, I mean, when the life of prayer gets a hold of you, everything changes. And if you have that life of prayer, you're fooling yourself if you think you're living the Catholic life. I mean, that's just reality.
Absolutely.
So the Science of Sainthood goes through prayer and the mystical life. And of course, there's a course on Our Lady and the life of grace and the three stages of the spiritual life that we were talking about before. You got to understand sin. So there's a course on that. Dark night of the senses, dark night of the soul, the virtues. I mean, I could continue on and on. There are 18 courses that go in order in the same way that the saints lay them out.
Excellent.
I think you're going to have a lot of people taking you up on that. Text the word pray to 66866 for 2 weeks free, because I tell you, I'm in there right now, scienceofsainthood.com, and there's so much content in here, Matthew. What a great job you've done.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, it's not, you know, it's not a hodgepodge of stuff. The point of the Science of Sainthood is exactly in the name. It's to help make saints. And so this is laser focused on the spiritual life.
Wow.
I love in the word of, you made the O like a halo. I love the way you did it. In case I noticed stuff like that. But, you know, without giving too much away, Matthew, you're going to be here for our Fishers of Men dinner. Give us a sneak peek of what, and don't give it all away. We want everybody to be enticed to be there, which I know they will be. But give us a sneak peek of what you'll be talking about that night.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell some stories, a little bit about my own conversion, but basically the first part of the talk is going to be laying out the case and exhorting people that sainthood isn't just attainable, that it's the goal. And we're gonna talk about some various saints, but my goal is to really, kind of set people on fire with a desire to be the best Catholic you can be. And then I'm gonna pivot and talk about three very practical things that we can do in order to help this process along. And, you know, there is a science of sainthood. We need to know the ins and outs. We know more about, you know, Texas high school football than we know about the spiritual life. I mean, I'm a native of Dallas. I know how it goes.
Oh, right? You know. Yeah.
So we focus on this stuff. And at the end of the day, you know, is that what's lasting? No. We need to know the nuances of the spiritual life so that we know what's happening. Just like the questions you guys were asking before with dryness and what happens if I don't feel anything. All these things. We should know this stuff. That's what the science of sainthood is really all about. But there are some key things that three key things I'm going to leave people with that are really going to help them turn that corner, I think, and make real progress in the interior life. And I don't know if you want me to share them now or just keep them secret, Gordy.
Keep them secret. Keep them secret.
I say we keep them secret You know, there are a lot of people out there listening right now who, after this show, I guarantee you we're going to see all these tables come through and all these seats, because they know Fishers of Men Dinner. They know that we serve an absolutely delicious catering steak that is just on fire. You're going to be on fire. That night is going to be on fire. And, you know, I believe, Matthew, we're going to sell this one out.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, guys.
I proclaim it.
What we need Catholic radio. There is no doubt about this.
Amen.
Because you guys have been doing a lion's share of the work for a long time in helping people to stay afloat in their Catholic faith through good times and bad. And the church, thanks be to God, is undergoing, I think we're kind of in this new springtime that John Paul II was talking about. You know, and springtime has thunderstorms and sunny days as well. I think we're in the sunny days. We cannot, and when I say that, I mean, more people are coming into the church than ever before.
That's right.
And I think a lot of it has to do with what you guys are doing.
I think so. I think not to brag, but yeah, I think we have had a little bit of role in that, because dioceses all over the nation, actually all over the world, and like in France, for example, are showing record numbers of folks coming back to the church. And I really like to think we have a little part to play in that.
No, I think it's a big part, and that's why, you know, you guys deserve the public support, and it reaches people that other places don't reach. Parish programs aren't going to reach the people in their cars driving around. I mean, you get into people's lives. And so please, people, you know, sign up for this, support the work of GRN. Let's get the good news out there.
You know, I was going to ask you, Matthew, you're a convert. What would you say? And there may be somebody listening right now that is on the fence and they're contemplating, you know, Catholicism, right? And jumping from Methodist or whatever they are. They may be non, you know, religious. I mean, they might just like what they hear right now and say, you know what? I'm going to look into this. Your Science of Sainthood would be a great first step for that person.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. It's designed for people who are kind of looking, and it's also designed for people who want to go deeper. Because here's the thing, you know, Jesus appeals to everybody, right? And you can have this beautiful relationship with him in the beginning, and he's going to be gentle with you. You don't have to be afraid of anything. The more you get to know him, he's infinitely deep.
Yep.
Right? You're never going to plumb the depths of God. And that's the same with all the truth that comes from God. And the beauty of the spiritual life is that you can wade in its waters, and you can dive under the surface and go deep, and it's all in the same pond. And so the truths that the church teaches, people can access them and begin to practice them immediately. But in fact, St. Gregory of Nyssa describes it as this spiraling ascent as we move toward God. You're kind of circling around the same truths all the time, but they're going deeper and deeper and deeper the closer you get to God. So it's for everybody.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that I read about or heard about as I was researching Matthew Leonard was in the illuminative way, it's the focus is on virtue and humility, right? Humility becomes greater. And what you said was, which was so profound to me, was that his illumination is so great, we can't come near. And he tries to, I guess, dense that or bring it down so that we can come closer. That to me was incredible when you said that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because the entire, we were talking about Edith Stein earlier and Dr. Reyes's, you know, great love of Edith Stein.
Mm-hmm.
The whole process of the interior life, We kind of think about it as illumination, and it is, right? The illuminative way, as you're saying, Gordy. But you get into some of the mystical saints, and they talk about it as a luminous darkness.
Yeah.
And so you're moving closer to God, but he's deadening. It's like an intensification of darkness that you're moving forward, but he deadens your senses and then illuminates you more from the inside out instead of the outside in. And the analogy that I always kind of use for this is, imagine you're in a house and you see a trap door like that goes up into an attic. And so you get a ladder and you put it there and you pop open that trap door and you kind of poke your head up and you look around. And you can't see anything at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, your eyes adjust and you can see. And then you look, hey, look, there's another trap door over there. You get your ladder, you put it there, you go up, you pop your head over the top of that trap door, and you're like, man, it's dark. And then after a while, your eyes adjust and you can see. And this is the series that just keeps happening over and over the closer we get to God. Because remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things, what? Not seen.
Not seen.
Right?
Yep.
And that doesn't mean it's a blind faith where we have no sense of God whatsoever. It means it's this ever-deepening process that as we're moving toward God, he continues to illuminate the darkness that we have in our own minds and our hearts with his light and love, and we come to know him in a deeper and deeper way from the inside out.
Yeah, I think that's perfect, said perfectly. I think back when I was a young, stupid atheist as a youth, you know, I think I depended way too much of my senses, right? You know, the scientific materialism and my senses. And I think that's that blinds you. That blinds you from getting closer to God.
Yeah. In fact, you know what Gordy was talking about, that this blinding and also this deadening of the senses. That's the way everybody is, Dr. A. Like we rely on our senses. We like to feel the presence of God,
yeah.
Right? We want to feel the wind of the Holy Spirit in our face. The first thing God does, and Lent is all about this, We're squashing those things.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of those things that are, and not trying to focus so much, not because the body is bad, but because as St. John Paul II says, you can't give away what you don't own, right? Basically. So we're getting control of ourselves and mastering those senses so they don't rule over us. And after God calms that stuff down, then he starts to go to work kind of on the upstairs of our soul, so to speak, where the intellect and will are. And I mean, that's a whole nother conversation we can have. But basically, it's about him taking control of our entire selves, not so we become robots, but so
right.
We become the children we were made to be.
Exactly.
Well, Matthew Leonard, I tell you, this has been a wonderful, wonderful hour spending time with you, getting to know you, having our listeners getting to know you. And I know that we are going to have a spectacular night on April 9th. And I want to thank you for accepting our invitation.
It's my pleasure, guys. I totally support the work you guys are doing. I pray that the Lord blesses you abundantly.
Yes, and if anybody's wondering out there, I believe we're going to have, and don't quote me on this, but I believe we're going to have your books there for sale as well.
Yeah, and I'll even be offering The Science of Sainthood as well.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. So, you know, anybody and everybody who buys a ticket, a table, they are going to be filled with surprises there when they not only hear you speak, but, you know, we're honoring a local priest who is at our cathedral, San Fernando Cathedral. It's going to be a wonderful night. And I want to encourage everyone to go into grnonline.com/events. And buy your ticket or table or tickets at for the South and Central TX Texas Fishers of Men dinner. Matthew, thank you so much. We've got like a minute left, so I want to make sure we get all this information out there. But God bless you, Matthew. Can't wait to see you when you arrive on the 9th, and it's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to being with you guys. And please, everybody, come on out. We'd love to see you.
Amen.
Amen to that. So thank you, Matthew, and we appreciate your time. But for everybody else, let's get some specifics out of, I don't want to say out of the way here, but you're probably listening saying, Gordy, how do I, you know, get my ticket? You could actually call me or call the office if you'd like tickets. You don't have online, you don't have, you know, the internet, whatever it is. Call my number, 210-865-0043, or you could call the office at 210-579-9844. Either one of us can help you. You can also email me if you'd like at gordon@grnonline.com, and we could share information with you. We could also, you know, let you know how much each seat is. It's $150 per seat or $1,500 per table, which is that seats 10. You could also come in at 3,000, 5,000, or 10,000. And if you're not able to attend, but you'd love to underwrite this and help us with the cost, you can also do that. You could do that by emailing me, gordon@grnonline.com. Dr. Ray, thank you for sitting in.
Anytime, Gordo, anytime.
And Matthew, Leonard, have a great day, and we look forward to seeing you when you get here.
God bless you guys.
God bless everyone. We love you guys. Don't forget about our digital platforms out there, Facebook, Twitter. What else do we have here?
Instagram.
And
TikTok.
And TikTok. So God bless everyone. We love you guys, and have a great week.
Faith, hope, charity. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
You can turn your unused vehicle into a tax-deductible donation to the Guadalupe Radio Network. It's a lot simpler than you might think, too. Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now. One of our representatives will gladly walk you through the process, even arrange pickup. Later model cars or trucks are greatly appreciated. Just call 1-866-628-2277 or come by grnonline.com and click Donate Now.
I had never heard of Guadalupe Network Radio, and I cannot tell you how excited we are to learn about this fabulous radio station. I downloaded the app, and I've been listening since yesterday and today, and I'm just very excited. I'm just so thrilled that we have this wonderful tool in our toolbox to learn more about our Catholic faith. I just can't thank you all enough.
Have you ever heard someone say the Catholic Church would be okay if it weren't for all the rituals? Why do people complain about the rituals in the Catholic Church? They don't complain about the rituals that fill the rest of their daily lives. They shake hands, they sign their names, they put candles on birthday cakes, they give each other flowers, they put on fancy weddings and somber funerals. Those are all rituals. They are symbols. They are simple ways of representing complex ideas. G.K. Chesterton says ritual is a need of the human soul. In fact, it's a need of the human body, like exercise. Destroy your impressive ceremony, and all you get in return is an unimpressive ceremony.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.
Do you need a will and keep putting it off? Do you need guidance on settling the estate of a loved one who's passed away? Gilson Law Firm is a faith-centered team of legal professionals who can help you navigate the probate process and put your final affairs in order. I'm attorney Sim Gilson. When we meet, we'll talk about Catholic health directives and charitable giving, about faith and family. To learn more about our team, visit tricountylawyer.com.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio on the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul. Catholic radio for your soul. Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.